Well, it's using it on a very large scale in a way that we don't normally use Tamiflu in seasonal flu. You know, in the sense it's not being targeted at high-risk people or, you know, people who are going to really benefit in a big way from it. You know, it's been given out to anybody who successfully ticks the boxes, which is a bold experiment, let's put it like that.
Would you say that the decision to roll out Tamiflu in the way that it has was political rather than done for sort of practical medical reasons?
I suppose you could say that the sort of politics comes into it with perhaps with a small p, in the sense that, you know, the stockpile is there. There was the expectation that the pandemic might well have very high mortality. And, of course, the Tamiflu had been bought on that, basically on that eventuality coming to pass. But, of course, what's come to pass is that we have a benign rather than a malignant pandemic. But the plan is still rolling. So you could say that, yes, you know. And, of course, there's the issue of Tamiflu being seen by the general public as almost as a wonder drug. You know, its reputation is grossly overinflated in that respect, because it has got some benefits, but they're not wonder drug type benefits. So I suppose all that put together means that in some ways, you know, the pandemic planners were the authors of this policy, based on an expectation that things have been far worse than they are, but nevertheless, the plan has to roll forward. So in that sense, I suppose you could say that sort of politics rather than science came into it.
What kind of medical control on the use of Tamiflu would you advocate?
Well, when the virus arrived, there were very strict controls. Basically, you only got it if you'd had contact with somebody who'd come from Mexico, or you'd come from Mexico yourself, or you were in contact with somebody who had the virus and all that kind of thing. Now, in Scotland, for example, we haven't gone forward with the scheme that's running in England. There is still medical input, in the sense that basically it's still prescription medicine. It's not obtainable off the internet, as it were, by, you know, ticking the boxes and so on. And that I think is the approach that, you know, other things being equal, I would have favoured in England as well.
And what are the dangers of allowing Tamiflu to be obtained in this way?
Well, the main danger, so far it's purely hypothetical, but it's a very real one, based on past experience with other antimicrobial agents, is that it will speed up the development of Tamiflu resistance in this new virus. We've already seen one or two strains, not in the UK, but in other parts of the world, which have got resistance. They haven't spread around, so they're still just, in a sense, curiosities. But I think most microbiologists, if you ask them, if you use an antimicrobial agent on a vast scale without medical control, almost unlimited, it will speed up the development of resistance, which is what's happened, of course, with bugs reacting to penicillin and you name it. It's happened, the malaria and so on. All these agents have become resistant because the use of the antimicrobial agent, whether it was antibacterial or antimalarial or what have you, was essentially uncontrolled in some parts of the world, which is where the resistance has started. And I think the big worry about the Tamiflu in England is that we're setting the scene for that kind of development. If it does happen and Tamiflu resistant virus spreads,